You'd like to turn to Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking from verse 25 onwards. Luke chapter 2. I want to begin with a slightly different book and a slightly different story. It's one of our children's books. It's Victoria, our youngest's favourite. I had it in the vestry just before the service started, and Steve Andrews said, "It looks a very well-loved book." For those of you who can't see it very closely, it's pretty dog-eared now and very bent because it's been much used. When Victoria saw that I was bringing it to church this morning, she suddenly recognised what it was and said, "That's my book," and insisted on carrying it all the way to church. And as we were driving in, she was reciting in the back seat the story. She knows it so well. Even though she can't read, she was turning the pages and reading out the story. She got it nearly right. I want to read you a little bit now. It's called Peepo. Here's a little baby, 1, 2, 3, stands in his cot. What does he see? And on the other page it says Peepo, and there's a little hole in the page, and you can see through to what he can see from his cot. He sees his father sleeping. It's a common sight in our household. In the big brass bed, and his mother too with a hairnet on her head. Not a common sight in our household. He sees the shadows moving on the bedroom wall, and the sun at the window, and his teddy, and his ball. The reason I think this story is such a favourite with our children is that it captures something of the fascination of what we see. We are fascinated by what we see with our eyes, hence the popularity of the big square box that I suspect many of us have been watching quite a bit over this Christmas period. Hence the fascination of many hobbies that have to do with watching. We all know that when John travels around the world, he doesn't only go preaching, he also goes to watch the birds that he can find. As I was sitting preparing this yesterday afternoon, I could hear in the background at the Arsenal football ground a group of supporters voicing their appreciation of what they were watching as there were oohs and ahs and chants of whatever they were chanting. But why all this business about seeing? Because I think this passage, which we're starting this morning, Luke chapter 2, is really about seeing, or at least that's the angle from which I want us to look at it this morning. For in this passage, there are two different forms of seeing. There is, first of all, what Simeon saw with his own eyes. And then there is what Simeon saw because God revealed it to him. And the two things are very, very different indeed. Just glance through the passage a moment to pick up this theme. Verse 26, we read that it was revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And the baby is presented to him, and in verse 30 he says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And that salvation, verse 32, takes the form of a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And the end result of the ministry of Jesus, verse 35, is that the thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And to pick up this theme in a little more detail, we're going to take, as it were, three little peeps at this story, just as in the book. It stops at different points of the day, and different points of the story, and says, what can we see? We are, as it were, going to sort of rerun the videotape of this story, but use the freeze frame facility on our video recorder to stop the picture at a number of points and say, what did Simeon see? That is, what did he see with his eyes? But then go on to ask the question, but what did God reveal to Simeon about what he saw, and how did God reveal that to him? So let's let the tape run. And we let it run, first of all, to the middle of verse 27, when Simeon, inspired by the Spirit, we read, comes into the temple. And what does he see? What he sees is a very ordinary sight. He sees a little family group. A mother and father and their 6-week-old baby. He surmises that they are probably fairly poor people, for they had brought with them the minimum sacrifice, the sacrifice for the dedication of the eldest son, which could only be brought if a family were poor. If they were wealthy, they had to bring a lamb and a turtle dove or a young pigeon, not a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So he sees with his own eyes this poor family coming, as the law demanded, to dedicate their oldest child. Nothing unusual in that, an everyday occurrence in the temple. But what does God reveal to Simeon? God reveals to Simeon that this child is the fulfillment of the promise that God had revealed to Simeon himself, that Simeon would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And how was that done? It was done by a specific word from God by his Holy Spirit. It was because, verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And because, verse 27, he came into the temple at that time inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the word for revealed in verse 26 is not the normal word used, but a word which implies to be in receipt of a divine statement or oracle. There was something very special about the revelation that Simeon was given, that this baby was the Lord's Christ. But how did he know? How did he know that this very ordinary family that he saw, such as he would have seen many, many times before, was actually the Lord's Christ and his human parents? He knew because what he saw coincided with what he had been told. Just as the shepherds on that hillside knew that the babe that they saw in the manger was the Christ of God, because what they saw tied in with what they had been told. I was listening to the news quiz on the radio as I was driving home at one stage yesterday. And the question was asked something like this. The clue was this: twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. And the question went something like this: what star turned out to be a bit of a damp squib? And the answer, of course, was Halley's Comet. Because everyone's been getting very excited about Halley's Comet coming around for the first time for, what is it, 70-something years. But actually, it's been a bit of a damp squib, because hardly anybody's managed to see it. Everyone's been peering out with their binoculars or their telescopes or whatever, but not many have seen Halley's Comet as yet. But some have, and what they've seen has been rather distant and not very spectacular. But they've known that what they have seen is Halley's Comet, because what they have seen has tied in with what they've been told. Perhaps they've watched Patrick Moore on the television telling them where to look and where to find Halley's Comet, or Ian McCaskill after the weather. And they've looked where they have been told. And because they have seen what they have been told they would see, they believe that they have seen Halley's Comet. So too, what Simeon saw was in many ways very, very ordinary. Nothing spectacular at all. But it was just as he had been told, and therefore he knew. But what does that mean for us? It is unlikely that we today will receive the same sort of specific revelation that Simeon received. But it is still essential that the Holy Spirit is at work if we are to see who Jesus really is. Perhaps we have spent this Christmas with some of those whom we love, and yet we are aware that they do not share our view of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, they see the same things with their eyes as we see. They see the story of a baby born 2,000 years ago. But they see no further. They do not see what God has revealed about that baby and what that means for them and for their lives. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, though it will come in a different way, they never will. Therefore, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would be at work in those whom we love and those whom we want to see discover the truth about Jesus Christ. We need to pray, too, that they will open their eyes beyond what we can see with our human eyes to see what God has revealed to us at that first Christmas. But it's time to let the tape run through a little further. And it runs through this time to the end of verse 32, before we press the freeze frame button again. It runs through the passage we know so well, that we call the Nunc Dimittis, and which we often sing at an evening service. But we ask the question again, what did Simeon see? The answer again is very simple. He saw a baby, this time a baby in his arms, for he had taken the baby in his arms to bless it before God and to bless God because of it. And as he took a closer look now at this baby, his first impressions were confirmed. It was a very ordinary baby to the human eye. 6 weeks old, very much like any other 6 week old baby. But what did God reveal to Simeon about this baby? He revealed to Simeon that this baby was the fulfillment of his plan of salvation. And so sure was Simeon of that fact that he makes this remarkable statement. Verse 30, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What an extraordinary thing for Simeon to say. What did he see? He saw an ordinary 6-week-old baby. That's all he saw with his eyes. And yet he says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And still more was revealed to Simeon. For Simeon saw that this salvation was a universal salvation. That this baby and the salvation he was to bring was to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That this baby was to reveal God to all the people of the world. And yet he was also to be for glory to thy people Israel. That this baby was the culmination of the whole purpose of the existence of the people of Israel. That they had existed as the vehicle for God's plan of salvation. And that plan had reached its fulfillment in this baby, Jesus Christ. That therefore this baby whom Simeon held in his arms was the glory of God's people Israel. But how was this amazing truth revealed? This amazing truth that the babe in his arms was the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. Surely it must have been by some amazing revelation. Surely Simeon must have been in receipt of some flash of inspiration as he looked at the baby. I think not. For the words that Simeon uses here in the Nunc Dimittis show a strong resemblance to the words of Isaiah in chapter 42 and in chapter 49. And there is nothing in the text which suggests that he was in receipt of any special revelation when he gave these words, which we know as the Nunc Dimittis. And therefore it seems highly likely that what he's doing here is expressing from his own deep knowledge of the Old Testament what he knew the Old Testament had said about the Lord's Christ and what his role would be. The special revelation was needed to show him who this baby was. Without that special revelation, he would never have known this baby from any other. But once he knew who the baby was, he needed no further revelation to know what that baby would do and what that baby's significance was. Imagine today that I was to take you to modern-day Turkey, a place I suspect many of you have never been, and to put you in the midst of a ruined city in modern-day Turkey. You probably wouldn't have the faintest idea where you were. I probably would, as I used to live there and know some of the sites quite well. But if I were then to give you the one piece of information that you needed, that the place where you were was the ancient city of Ephesus, then if you are a man or a woman who knows your New Testament, a whole lot of things would immediately fall into place. You would know that that was the place where Paul was nearly lynched by the mob after the riot of the silversmiths. You know that was the place where Paul spent 2 or 3 years teaching from house to house and building the church in that place, so that the word of God reached into the whole of that region. You would know that it was the place where Timothy was in charge of the church and to where Paul wrote his letters to Timothy. Once you had that one special piece of information, the rest would fall into place. And that's what happened for Simeon. He needed the special piece of information that the baby he held was the Lord's Christ. But once he knew that, then he knew what that baby would do and what he would be. There's a tendency in the church today, I think, to glorify specific or special revelation that comes direct to us. It seems much more exciting, doesn't it, to hear from God direct than to read about what he has revealed in a book. But most often, that is not God's way. Yes, he can and he does give specific revelation when it is needed, but not when it is not. And what we need above all, whether we're here as interested outsiders or we're here as committed Christians, is to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and understand more about his role in history, in our world, and in our own lives. And if we want to know that, we need no special revelation other than that which has already been given. For the revelation is here in God's word written. We have even more to go on than Simeon had, for we have the New Testament as well as the Old. But it's time to press the play button again and let the story run through a little further for a final time, to let it reach a less familiar part of the story, to take it to the end of the passage we had read, to the end of verse 35, in which we read of the second of Simeon's utterances, addressed not to God, as the first one was, as a blessing to God for what he had done, but a blessing for Mary. And so we ask again, what did Simeon see? By this stage, he'd probably given Mary back the child, and so he probably saw Mary with her child. And by this stage, he knew that he now saw a human mother and her divine child. But what did God reveal to him? God revealed to him the effect that this child would have on mankind. On the one hand, how he would involve Mary in both pain and privilege. He blessed her for the privilege of bearing the Lord's Christ. And yet he pointed forward to the pain that she would feel when her only son, or rather her firstborn son, was crucified and he suffered on the cross. And he pictures her pain with these vivid words, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." And on the other hand, he saw how this child, Jesus, would cause division amongst mankind. For some, he would be the cause of rising. For others, he would be the cause of falling, and a sign that is spoken against. For Simeon saw that this child was not only to be a light that revealed God to us, but also a light that revealed us to ourselves. Verse 35, that the thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon saw that it was impossible, or would be impossible, to be neutral about this child. Many of us are neutral in our thinking about many different things. Some of us here this morning, I suspect, are committed and passionate royalists. There may be one or two who think we might be better off without a royal family. There may be many who are basically, for most of their lives, fairly indifferent or neutral about our royal family, perhaps because you're not even a member or a citizen of this country. There are many people who are very neutral about politics. There are those who get very involved, are very committed on one side or the other. But many of us, for most of our lives, are very neutral. There are many who are passionately involved with the sport of football. There are others who are completely turned off by it and who give great thanks that we've had none on our television screens this year. There are others who are equally grateful that it's going to return in the new year. But most of us are probably very neutral and very unconcerned about football. But Simeon saw that it would not be possible to be neutral or unconcerned about this child. The probability is that everyone else who saw that child that day thought, "How sweet. Here's a child, the firstborn, being brought to be dedicated in the temple, as the law demands. How right, how proper." But it was revealed to Simeon that one day the thinking about Jesus would be very different, and that one day those thoughts would be revealed. We're shown to Simeon that some would accept Jesus as the Lord's Christ, as he had done, and others would reject him and would see him as a sign to be spoken against. But how was this revealed to Simeon? Once again, it is unlikely that it was revealed in any spectacular way. For the phraseology that Simeon uses here is once again reminiscent of the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. Of Isaiah 28, of the cornerstone which is set for the building of the new temple, for the new people of God. And the word used by Simeon, that this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, is the metaphorical usage of the same word used of laying bricks or laying stones in a building. It's reminiscent of Isaiah chapter 8 and the prophecy concerning the stumbling block which would cause many in Israel to fall. But what does all this show us? It shows us, of course, that Simeon knew his Old Testament very well indeed. So well that he had a balanced view of what the coming Messiah would be. There were many in Israel in Simeon's day who were expecting a Messiah to come. But they were looking only for one who would be the glory of the people of Israel, one who would kick out the Romans and set the people of Israel free again. And they had that view because they'd grasped only part of the Old Testament's teaching. But Simeon saw further and grasped the balance of the Old Testament's teaching and saw that, yes, this baby was to be a king. He was to be the glory of God's people, Israel. But he was not only to be one who came to the Jews, he was to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And he was to be not only a king who would reign, but one who would suffer as well. You remember the little rhyme I started with from Victoria's favorite book? Here's a little baby, 1, 2, 3, stands in his cot. What does he see? Let me just amend it slightly. Here's an average Christian, 1, 2, 3, sitting down in church. What does he see? The answer is often very little. For the church today is often starved of God's revelation. And if the church is starved of revelation, of course it has to look for substitutes. And the church has traditionally found substitutes, perhaps in ceremony, as the Old Testament people of God did as well. You can read about it in the prophets. Or in the seeking after spectacular ecstatic experience, when all the time the revelation of God is recorded for us and lies in our hands for us to study and use. Yes, Simeon needed a specific and special revelation to know who that baby was. But after that, all he needed was to look at what God had said and to apply it to what he saw in his own day. And that is our task today, to take the age-long word of God and to apply it to our world today. For some here this morning, that means beginning at the beginning. For you have not yet recognized what Simeon recognized, that Jesus is the Lord's Christ. For you, that is a discovery that waits in the future as yet. And if that is so, then don't wait for a blinding flash. Take God's revelation and study it. Read one of the Gospels and see for yourself who this baby really was. For the rest of us, it means continuing to seek to learn more about this child who became our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to learn more about what he means for us and what he wants for our lives today and for our world today. This church, which we are sitting in this morning, has been built on the ministry of God's word, in the public preaching of that word, in the private study of that word, and in the group study in our fellowship groups. But we must not take that for granted. It would be very easy for us just to begin to live in this church of reputation. of organization, of any other number of different things, the friendly atmosphere. But if we are to continue in the way that we have begun, we need, once again as Simeon did, to bury ourselves in the Word of God, to absorb it into our lives, so that when we see what God is doing, we recognize it, we know what He's doing, and we know what He wants us to do in His world today. How often do we pray for the public ministry of God's Word in this place? How often do we pray for the public ministry of God's Word in the wider church? It is often a pathetic spectacle in the church today. But how much do we worry about that? How much are we really concerned about that? How much are we praying that God will raise up men who will preach His Word faithfully? How much do we expect to receive when we come to meet here Sunday by Sunday and as we open God's Word together? Here's a group of Christians, 1, 2, 3, opening our Bibles. What do we see? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the revelation You have given in Jesus Christ. Help us to study it, to absorb it, that it becomes a part of our lives as it did of Simeon's, so that we can recognize what You are doing, so that we too can come and worship the Lord's Christ and give Him the glory due to His name, so we too can bring His light to those who have not yet received it. And this we ask in His name. Amen.